Good morning. It's very good to be here. It seems that you have figured out my family, which I always joke and say I have an agreement with my brother that he's not supposed to tell that I'm his brother. I'm kind of the lost one of the family. It seems that most of the people across the brotherhood know my brother Newton. They know my sister Esel. And I guess I've been hiding in California for a lot of years. I'll tell you news. It may be good news to you. It may not be so good news to you guys. But we've been threatening you that we were going to move here for the last 10 years. We have sold our house in California. We're here to buy a condo in Florida this week. If the right one's there, if not, we'll end up renting. So the whole big plan that we planned for the last 10 years is coming to fruition, and we're very happy about that. We praise God for all of the wonderful things He has done for us. And we praise God that you all are here. And we know that this place, people have been worshiping in this place for generations, and we appreciate that. We greatly appreciate that. I try to say every time that I go to a place and meet with the brethren that we appreciate the fact that people are serving God and are coming out in the face of hardship. There's hardships in this country right now. There's other countries I've been in that there is oppression for those who are worshiping. And the people of God, they worship God. And it's right for us to take precautions and to be good to our fellow man, but it's also right for us to serve the living God. We're going to talk this morning about what is truth. Now, this is a lesson I've given a couple times at home, and I might just say, in Placerville, California, the church is doing well. We're in a place in California that is kind of away from the major population centers. We're out towards the mountains, towards Lake Tahoe, and we don't have the restrictions that the people around L.A. and around San Francisco have, so it's good for us there. We're going to talk about this, and we're going to start by looking at the story of Pilate. You know, when Jesus Christ was put on trial, the Jews really didn't have the authority to crucify him. They had the authority to stone him, but they wanted something different for him, and it was actually God's plan and God's will that he would be killed in by crucifixion. It had been prophesied for years. So in this process, he went before Pilate. Now Pilate was the one who ruled that area. He ruled all of Jerusalem in that area. So if something was going to be done, they had to have the Roman authorities, and that person was Pilate. So they brought Jesus before Pilate, and they said, this is a bad guy, and he's telling people not to pay their taxes. You want to get anybody in trouble throughout all history. All you had to do is go to the government and say, this guy says not to pay taxes. They were ready to kill you if that happened. So that's what they did. They brought Jesus. They said, this guy says don't pay your taxes. This guy says he's a king. He's the guy that you should kill right away. So here we are in John the 18th chapter, verse 33. It says, then Pilate entered the praetorium again, called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? Jesus answered him, are you speaking for yourself about this, or did others tell you this concerning me? Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your own nation and the chief priests have delivered you to me. What have you done? Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would fight so that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now my kingdom is not from here. Pilate therefore said to him, are you a king then? Jesus answered, you say rightly that I am a king. For this cause I was born, and for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth. Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. Pilate said to him, what is truth? And when he had said this, he went out again to the Jews and said to them, I find no fault in him at all. So here we have the story of Pilate talking to Jesus. We're going to look at the the area where Pilate said, "What is truth?" Jesus said, "I came to tell the truth, and those who want to witness the truth and want to be of the truth, they're the ones who hear my voice." And Pilate said, "What is truth?" And we think, what was he talking about? Well, number one, he was a politician. And in this election year, if you've heard a politician talking, you have to think in your mind, is that the truth? Doesn't matter what side they're on of anything. It's like they're telling you what you want to know. It was even worse at this time. The Romans, they told the people whatever they wanted to tell them, whatever they thought was best. And that was Pilate's attitude here. And when it came right down to it, Pilate said, "Fine, go and crucify this guy." It didn't matter to Pilate whether this guy was innocent or not. He was going to do what was politically expedient for him. He didn't want this little, dust up to be sent off to Rome to go, "Hey, Pilate's not doing a good job there, having all kinds of trouble in Jerusalem." It's like if he had to kill some people, it didn't matter to him. So truth to him just didn't matter. But we have to ask that same question, maybe for totally different reasons. But what is truth? Now, if you just look in the dictionary on what is truth, and you got to be careful in the dictionary these days. I just heard the other day that somebody said something, and then the people at Webster's Dictionary went and updated their dictionary overnight to say a little bit different definition. So what is truth? The dictionary says, truth is its fidelity. It is being true to something. Another definition, it's sincerity in action. You're true to that particular action or character. It is also the state of being the case, or it is reality. That's the truth. That's what happened. It's what's happening. It is the body of real things going on, what we might call reality. Those things are true. It is in accordance with fact. It's actually happening. And we throw around the term literally all the time, but truth is literally what's happening. It doesn't mean I'm making an example of something and then throwing literally out. It is reality. Now, Jesus said, when we come together to worship, we must worship in truth. We see that in John, the 4th chapter, verse 23. "But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth, for the Father is seeking such to worship Him. God is spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth." You know, from looking at some of the commentaries, and I am no language expert, not even in English, and you'll figure that out throughout the lesson. What this verse is saying is we must truly worship when we worship, as opposed to one who's just acting like they're worshiping. We can move our hands and sing our songs and those kind of things, and we can be worshiping in truth, or we can just be going through the motions. Jesus says you have to worship in spirit, with your spirit, to God's spirit, and in truth, doing the things truly because you appreciate God and you are worshiping God. The acts of worship that we do, even the teaching, everyone is participating in the teaching, whether we are speaking forth the truth or we are learning the truth. Everything that we do in this worship, we must participate in that. And also in Jesus' character, the very character of Jesus was truth. John, the 1st chapter, verse 14, "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Jesus was gracious and He was true. He was not deceitful in anything that He did. No one had to wonder, what is this guy Jesus up to? You know, in the current financial times that we've had, and it seems like it's been quite a while now, but we have this term that is called transparency. We want our financial people that are taking care of the country's finances and the economy of the country. We want them to be transparent so we can see what's going on. If something happening is good, we want to see that it's good. If it's bad, we want to see that it's bad. So we can make decisions what to do financially for ourselves. So the transparency in business means people know your business practices. That means when you're doing business, everyone knows what you're doing and what you're trying to accomplish. They know your intentions, they know your actions, and the opposite of that is what we call in the IT world, we call it a black box. So if you have a computer system that nobody knows what goes on in that computer system, they only know what goes in and they see what comes out, we just say whatever's in there is a black box because we cannot see it. We have no visibility to that. We can only guess what's going on. Jesus' actions were never like that. John 18, verse 19 and 20, and 21. The high priest then asked Jesus about his disciples and his doctrine. Jesus answered him, "I spoke openly in the world. I always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where the Jews always meet, and in secret I have said nothing. Why do you ask me? Ask those who have heard me what I said to them. Indeed, they know what I said." So when they asked Jesus, what have you been teaching? And Jesus went, you know, he's probably frustrated like I am when people ask me questions. I think they should know the answer. He said, "Why are you asking me? I've been teaching in public for years now. Ask the people who heard me teach." Jesus was that way. He did not say one thing to one group of people and one thing to another group of people. And it seems nowadays we have Twitter, and I don't know if you guys have Twitter accounts. I have an account. I haven't been on it in more than 2 or 3 years. But people will put things out on Twitter, and it could be, you know, from the average guy on the street right up to the president. And they put something on Twitter, and they figure out that people didn't like what they put on Twitter, and they say things like, "My Twitter account was hacked," which means I didn't say what I said. Jesus never went around and said, "I didn't say what I said." He just said what he said. It was straightforward. He was hiding nothing. He was not deceitful. And it just really is a stark contrast to the people of our world that may just say anything and they say, "Oh, no, I didn't say what I said." Jesus said, "You want to know what I preached? Ask all the people that heard me preach." I was just straightforward with them. In Mark the 7th chapter, verse 20, and he said, "What comes out of a man, that defiles a man. For within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornication, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lewdness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All of these evil things come from within and defile a man." Being deceitful and being untrue is described by Jesus as evil things. We have to think about that. We can be deceitful without trying very hard. A lot of times we can be deceitful just by not telling people what we're doing. They may ask us, "Well, what are you doing?" And you just go, "Ah, it doesn't matter." Well, maybe it does matter to them. So if we are deceitful about what we do, we're not really following the example of Jesus. And he paid a man a compliment by saying, "This man is not deceitful." John, the first chapter, verse 47. It says, "Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him and said to him, 'Behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no deceit.'" Can people pay that compliment to us? Can they say, "Here's a guy that's just straightforward. He never tries to deceive anybody. You know, if he does something and you don't like it, it's not because he didn't tell you. It's not because he lied to you. It's not because he held back from you." Jesus said, to be a true worshiper of God, you have to be without deceit, and we must seek truth. So let's go back to John, the first chapter, verse 14. "And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is not only the definition of truth as being not deceitful, he is also the definition of truth, which is reality, the things that are real. Jesus, he is really God. He is really the Son of God. The first verse in that chapter, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So in our worship, we must be sincere, but we must also worship the true God. You know, since the ancient times, there have been many, many false gods created by men. Just read about it in the Old Testament. You see the Baals, you see the golden calf, you see the god of trees, you see the god of fish, you see the god of the planets. That seemed to be a very popular thing for the Greeks. You see the gods of the earth. All of those false gods have been in existence throughout history. Today, many times, we hear the term Mother Earth. And you hear the term Mother Earth so many times that you may just, it just may come out of your mouth. When you're talking about nature or something about the earth, you may just get that same idea pop in your head from hearing it so much. Mother Earth. Well, Earth is not a mother. This is God's green earth. It's not a mother. Psalm, the 24th Psalm, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell therein. The earth is not a mother. It's merely a possession and a creation of God, and it will be eliminated when God is done with it. So we can't get in this mindset of all of these gods that people have invented. We have to look at the one true God. The Apostle Paul speaks about the big lie about gods. Romans, the first chapter, verse 25. Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped the served, the creature, rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. We know in our culture today that most people will exchange the reality of God for a lie. They just don't want to deal with the reality of God. Evolutionists say there is no creator, and then their God becomes the universe itself because they don't believe in a creator. We must worship only the true God, the creator, not the creation of God. Jesus said this in John, the 17th chapter, verse 3. And this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Eternal life is obtained by knowing God and by knowing Jesus Christ. That is reality. That is the truth. Going back to 1 John 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is not only the reality of God, he is also the message or the Word of God sent down to earth. This being the truth definition from the dictionary, the message or statement being accord with fact or reality. Jesus Christ is in accord with fact and reality of God. God the Creator defines what is reality or is truth, and we must worship him according to his word. He is the one that defines truth. John the 8th chapter, verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed him, if you abide in my word, you are my disciples indeed. And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The message that is in accordance with reality is in the words of Jesus Christ. That is reality. That is truth. His word is truth. If we live by his word, we will know what is fact and what is reality. We don't have to be confused by the things of this world. Living by the teaching of Jesus will produce freedom in us from our sins and freedom from this world. We will no longer be slaves to sin. We will no longer be the slaves to fleshly desires. We will no longer be held back by the physical world we're living in and the myths and the falsehoods that we're told in this particular world. John 14, verse 6, "And Jesus said to him, 'I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me.'" It's through Jesus Christ. He is the truth. The message of Jesus is the way to God and eternal life. It is the way back home to God, where we belong. It's the way back to paradise, where we belong. Humans were created in a paradise in the garden, and sin took us out of that paradise. It is the truth of God. It is the way that takes us back to God, that takes us back to paradise. Ephesians, the 4th chapter, verse 20. "But if you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus." The truth is in Jesus Christ. We must learn the message of Jesus to know what is truth. The message of Jesus is truth, but it's not something that Jesus thought up on his own. The message of Jesus is from the Father. It's from God the Father. It is one version of truth. There's not a Jesus truth and God the Father truth. There's God the Father truth, and Jesus proclaimed that to us. John, the 12th chapter, verse 48. "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last days. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." Jesus didn't speak his own ideas, his own teaching. His message was that of the Father, the message that was given to him by the Father to speak. And he was commanded, "Speak this." There's one version of truth, and that truth is from God in heaven. Jesus did not vary from what God gave him because he knew the message of God was the only way to eternal life. And we must know that too. So Jesus stuck to that message so that we could have eternal life. You know, if what I think is good, I may say some really good things, and they may sound really good. But if they're not according to God's truth, and they're opposed to God's truth, then they are not truth. And we know humans are not the source of truth. And there are many people that have proclaimed that they were the source of truth. There are people that have said, "I am a prophet from God." There are other people that actually just spoke for God. But we know they are not the source of truth. You know, science fiction is something that I am really entertained by. I don't read much of it anymore, but when I was a kid, I read quite a bit of science fiction. And it is entertaining. But you know what? It's not true. They shot a rocket off over here from Cape Canaveral this morning. And you know, they didn't just read a science fiction book and go, "Oh, that sounds good. Let's build a rocket according to their specs and shoot it off." I wouldn't have seen a rocket take off if they had done that. You cannot live your spiritual life after the commands of men. You got to go for the truth. You got to get what came from God. Many things are taught in our culture that are fiction. They're not reality. We have to stick with God. And I'll just say right here, I believe that every form of truth is from God. If you take physics, it's from God. You take mathematics, it's from God. When we take Christianity, it is from God, and we have to get our truth from Him. You know, God sent His word through people other than Jesus. You know, he sent to us Jesus Christ and the word through him, but there were things that others received the message. In John the 16th chapter, verse 12 through 15, "I still have things to say to you." This is Jesus speaking. "I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. For he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak. And he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you. Now you know the apostles. They were witnesses to the truth through the words of Jesus Christ. But they were just men. And they couldn't receive it all in the short time that they were on the earth with Jesus. Have you ever gone to a class or a seminar or something, and maybe it's a short thing that for a week or maybe less than a week, and they just give you tons of information. You come in the morning, maybe you have a notebook that you fill out, and you try to write down everything that person says because you know what they say is important. It'll be good for you to know that. But when that session or that class is over, you just feel like you need to just lay down and go to sleep because you've had to try to get so much in. And there was no way that you could absorb all of it. But you know, these apostles, these men that were chosen, they were in information and emotional overload when Jesus Christ left this earth. But Jesus Christ said, don't worry about it. There's more stuff that you're going to receive, and that stuff is going to be told you again. You're going to be reminded by the Holy Spirit so that you can take those things that I said to you that were from God and you can write them down. But you know, God expected that. He already had a plan in place that said, okay, when Jesus Christ comes down, he's going to preach to these people, and then the Holy Spirit is going to remind these apostles and tell them to write it down. So we would have a book that we can read today, and we will know the truth. But the Holy Spirit, he didn't talk to them about other stuff. He reminded them the stuff that Jesus was talking to them about. And Jesus, we just read, Jesus said, I deliver to you the stuff that the Father told me to say. And you can't get it all, so the Holy Spirit is going to tell you the same things again so that you can remember the things that need to be written down for other people. Now, how many versions of truth did we have? Well, we had the truth from the Father, and Jesus said, I'm taking the truth from the Father and giving it to you. So that's still one version of truth. And then Jesus said, the stuff you can't remember, the Holy Spirit's going to remind you what I said, which was what God said. That's still one version of the truth. And that's reality. There's one version of the truth in this world. And someone may say to you, that's my truth. They're using the wrong word. That's their story. But there's one version of the truth. It doesn't matter if it's God's word on Christianity, God's word on mathematics, God's word on physics. There's only going to be one truth. And so we don't have to say, oh, yeah, yeah, the Bible said that, but this is my truth over here. No, this is your deceit over here, and you're fooling yourself. We are the easiest person to fool. We can fool ourselves before we can fool anybody else in this world. So we have to be careful to go with that one version of truth. The New Testament that we have here today is that one version of truth that was written down by the guys who heard it from the Holy Spirit, who heard it from the Son, who heard it from the Father. We have that in front of us. There's one Father, there's one Son, there's one Holy Spirit. That is the source of all truth in the whole world from the Father. And I would say it's the source of all truth wherever. There may be places we have no clue exist. God is the source of truth in all of those places. So we have truth given to us by God. So what's that do for us? That truth does nothing for us unless we accept it and we put it into action. Education does not equal success. Every pack of cigarettes has this little warning label on there, and essentially it says, if you smoke these cigarettes, you're going to die of cancer. Now, they use better words than I did, but that's what they mean. You smoke those cigarettes, you're going to die of cancer. They tell you that. We know that. Everybody knows that. They teach us in school. You know, if you go to other countries, if you go to the country of Malaysia, and if you buy a pack of cigarettes or cigars or something like that, it doesn't just say, if you smoke these, you're going to die. They have pictures of people with mouth cancer and face cancer and all kinds of things that come from smoking tobacco, and it doesn't matter what language you speak, you get that thing, and it shows these very grotesque-looking pictures, and it says, smoke this, that's what you're going to look like. We know that. We know that. I was driving down the road this morning. There was a man there who had a sign that he was homeless and hungry, and he was smoking a cigarette. And, you know, I felt sorry for him for all kinds of ways, but education did not equal success. It doesn't equal success for that man. It doesn't equal success for us. We have to put what we know into action. But humans are weak. God knows we're weak. He keeps telling us. All we have to do is keep reading it, keep working on accepting it, and putting it into our lives. We must accept truth and obey it. 2 Thessalonians, the second chapter, verse 13. But we were bought. No, sorry, I said that wrong. But we are bound to give thanks to God always for you, brethren, beloved by the Lord, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation through sanctification by the Spirit and belief in the truth, to which he called you by our gospel for obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast and hold to the traditions which you were taught, whether by word or by or our epistle. The word of the gospel is what God has put in place. He put in place this plan of salvation so that we can have salvation and forgiveness of our sins. But we have to accept that plan. We have to follow that plan so that we can receive salvation. We receive salvation from God, and then we got to stick with it. We got to keep on going that way and walking in that path. We have to be set apart from the world. We have to be sanctified. That sanctified means you're set apart for something special. Now, I don't know if when you were a kid, your mom ever baked a cake, and that cake was sitting on the kitchen counter, and your mom made a special effort to make sure you heard and understood her words. This cake is for tomorrow's dinner, because we're having people over tomorrow. And that means in the middle of the night, you don't come down here and get a piece of cake. You understand that. You know it 100%. But then she would give you a little incentive. And if you come and eat a piece of this cake tonight, you're going to wish you never did for the rest of your life. And you kind of knew what that entailed because your mom had probably practiced this on your other siblings, of course, and you saw it. And so you knew. Follow that command. Follow that action. But if you didn't and you ate that cake, knowing what was going to happen didn't stop it from happening. It just happened. You know, Jesus prayed for his disciples. He prayed this thing for them that they would know the truth and they would go with it. John 17, verse 17. He's talking to God the Father. Jesus says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into this world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. How do we remain in the service and salvation of God? By being sanctified, by being set apart, by knowing God's word and living by his every command. That's how we're set apart. It's by following God's command, following his truth. How do we have a hope in heaven? How do we think we're going to go to heaven? Colossians, the first chapter, verse 3. We give thanks to God God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you have heard before in the word of truth of the gospel. We have hope of eternal life in heaven with God because we heard it in his word, in the word of God. We heard if we follow God, we've heard that if we accept Jesus Christ, we accept salvation, we're baptized, we follow his word, it's going to get us to heaven. Jesus said he was the way. But how do we get messed up? How do we make mistakes? You know, there's a story here of the Sadducees in the New Testament. And the Sadducees were predominantly a predominant sect of the Jews, and they didn't believe in eternal life. They believed what you got was here, and when you die, everything's all over. And because of that belief, they even corrupted the temple so they could make a killing, I would say. They could make a bunch of money off the people coming to the temple by selling them animals and temple money and those kind of things. But it's because they missed it. And they came and asked Jesus a hypothetical question about a woman who had been married to seven different brothers because she was following the law of Moses, and each one died. And I always said, after a couple of brothers, I would have been the brother that said, I saw what happened to those other guys. We're going to do this something different here. But anyway, they said, whose wife is she going to be in heaven? And this is what Jesus said to them. Mark 12, verse 24. Jesus answered and said to them, Are you not therefore mistaken because you do not know the scriptures nor the power of God? He says, for when they raise from the dead, they neither marry or are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. But concerning the dead, that they rise, have you not read in the book of Moses, in the burning bush passage, how God spoke to him, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob. He is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. You are therefore greatly mistaken. These folks, they had an answer all reasoned out in their minds, and they weren't bad thinkers. That's a pretty good answer if you didn't know the Word of God. But you see, they took the rules of what is happening around them on the earth, and they applied them to the things of God. Jesus said, your mistake is that you don't know the Scriptures. Therefore, you base your life on your own thinking. That's no different than any of the rest of us. If you don't know the Scriptures, what else are you going to base it on? Whatever you think or whatever you hear somebody else say. It's much easier for me to just reason within myself when I have a question than it is for me to read the Scriptures. Oh, yeah, I know the answer to that. I'm a pretty smart guy. I know I'm a pretty smart guy because I think I'm a smart guy. It doesn't get you anywhere. If you read the Scriptures, you'll know what the answer is. And when someone comes to you and they ask you a hypothetical question, doesn't matter what that hypothetical question is, what you have to do is say, I can't reason within myself and know the answer. I'll take your question to the Scriptures. And there's a million hypothetical questions out there. And people that are not Christians think up really good hypothetical questions. And there's really stupid answers you can give if you do not look at the Scriptures. Look at the Scriptures, read to them what the Scripture says, and you will have a good answer. If you read it in somebody else's book, what's somebody else going to do for you? They can't get you salvation. Sometimes we even go farther and we do things that we know are mistakes, are wrong. Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 26. For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation will devour the adversaries. You know, if we know the truth and we ignore the truth, then we're worse off than not even knowing it. Because we know the truth, we know we're not following it, and reality is going to catch up with us. Reality is going to catch up with us either in this world or the next. But we can get a reality check. Sometimes that's just what we need. Just if we can get a reality check. James, the 5th chapter, verse 19. Brethren, if anyone among you wanders from the truth and someone turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from an error of his way will save a soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. You know, I know this is a really hard thing to do. If anybody in the church needs a reality check to get them back to the truth, we need to help them. We need to help them get a reality check. They need to get that reality check now, because at the end of life, that reality check is really hard. And I know we love people. We don't want to insult people, but their soul is at stake. And you want them to get back to the truth now, not when Jesus Christ arrives and reality hits them hard. the reality is we have to be turned back to the truth. We have to go back to the truth every single chance we can. We need to find out what the truth is. And if it's coming and sitting in this building and hearing a brother proclaim the truth, if it's singing the songs that proclaim to us the truth, if it's reading our Bible that proclaim to us the truth, we need to get back to that truth. We need to be as close to that truth as humanly possible. So in summary this morning, being open and honest and not deceitful is the way of truth. That's the way Jesus lived. It's the way we need to live. Truth is reality. God is reality. He's really there. We have to understand that. Truth is the message that is in accord with fact. God's word is fact. It is truth. It is reality. We need to live sanctified in accordance with his word. We need to know what is fact and what is reality. If we need to be turned back to reality by a brother or the truth or the word, we need to get with it and do that. All truth comes from God. God has said, through his word, through his son Jesus Christ, we can earn eternal life. That's what we're looking for. I hope in some way this lesson has helped you. It always helps me when I go through this lesson. If you're here today, and you have not been baptized for the remission of your sins, I will tell you the reality is this. You cannot get into heaven with your sins. We've all sinned. That's reality. That's truth. But the good news is Jesus Christ was sent to this world to become a sacrifice. He taught us the way of salvation, and he was the sacrifice for all sin. To all of those who turn to him, we must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We must repent of our ways. We must purpose in our hearts to turn from our way of acting to follow Jesus Christ. We must confess that we do believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. We need to be baptized for the remission of our sins. Then our sins are gone. Then we can follow on walking in the way of Jesus Christ. If you have walked away from the way of Jesus Christ, God and Jesus want you back right now. They don't want you to wait. They are looking for you to come back. They love you. They would like you to be saved. Like everybody, they want to be saved. We just have to have an action and do that. We invite you to come forward. We will pray with you that God forgives you. God has promised that if you repent and ask for forgiveness, he will forgive you. If there's one of either case, we invite you to come forward while we stand and sing.